It's always good to see you here, and I apologize. I am grateful that you are here, because I know that some folks probably aren't here so they can watch the Women's World Cup Championship, which is going on right now. If anyone wants to give us an update, that'd be fine. Our scripture reading today comes from Isaiah chapter 58. I'll be reading verses 6 through 10. Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thong of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house when you see them naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin? Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your regard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. And you shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom be like the noonday. May we add blessing and understanding to the reading of these words. Need the update on that?
Nope.
Okay. The message today is entitled, "It Matters." So our scripture today begins with this tiny little challenge. Loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke, to share bread with the hungry, to bring the homeless poor into your house. When you see the naked, to cover them and not hide from your own kin. That's a lot. Just the first piece. To loose the bonds of injustice could be seen as a task equivalent to trying to eat an elephant. Loose the bonds of injustice? It's hard to even really wrap your head around what that means. More or less, to begin undertaking such seemingly an unsurmountable task. So, let's start with what it means in our world today. In our world today, the gross domestic product of the poorest 48 nations, that's a quarter of the nations in the world, the gross domestic product of the 48 poorest nations is less than the wealth of the world's three richest people. A few hundred millionaires, now own as much wealth as the world's poorest 2.5 billion people. Not million, 2.5 billion people. 20% of the people in developed nations consume 86% of the world's commercial goods. And only 12% of the world's population uses 85% of the world's water. 12% uses 85% of the world's water. What is injustice? In our world today, the gap between the richest and the poorest countries are increasing. The cost of providing basic health care and nutrition, the cost of providing basic health care and nutrition for all the people in the world would be less than the annual cost of pet food in the U.S. and Europe. Every day, 16,000 children die of hunger or hunger-related diseases. That's nearly 6 million deaths a year. Now, compare that to the reality that on Super Bowl Sunday alone, here in America, we will consume 29 million pounds of chips, 90 million chicken wings, and 8 million pounds of guacamole. That is injustice. That is the bond which today's scripture calls us to loosen. But wow, I mean, that's a massive undertaking. And that was just the first one in our list from scripture today. We're also supposed to unleash the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke, to share your bread with the hungry, to bring homeless poor into your house when you see them naked, to cover them. I mean, that is an elephant of a problem, but as Gandhi has pointed out, and rightly so, we are to be the change that we wish to see. That is to say, don't just talk the talk, but walk the walk. See, it's very hard to change others. In fact, you can't even do it if they're not willing to change. And truthfully, it's very hard to change yourself. As a matter of fact, you can't even do it if you're not willing to change. Now, the good news is that you can. And that is, in part, the point of Gandhi's directive to us. It, of course, is much more complex than simply that, but it does tell us to effect change where we can, and to begin with ourselves. That's a very fine place to start, as a matter of fact. Now, that does not solve the problem of the largeness of the problem, but it does give us a place to start as we seek to loose the bonds of injustice, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, shelter the homeless. I'd like to share with you the moment in which I was profoundly struck by the largeness of this problem and how very small my ability to do anything about it felt in comparison. I was on one of many mission trips to Piedras Negras, Mexico, where we built these tiny three-room homes on a filled-in trash dump called the Tierra y Esperanza, Land of Hope, on a filled-in trash heap. We were building them for families who had never even had a home. And on this particular trip, we had just finished a closing ceremony with the family for whom the home had been built. And they brought out their one and only plate for us all to share communion. It was a beautiful and touching blessing of their new and first home. I remember piling in all dirty and dusty into the work van, exhausted from a solid week's worth of work where temperatures daily shot into the hundreds. In exhaustion, I leaned my head up against the window of the van, feeling amazingly good about the work that we had done. And as we pulled out onto that rock-strewn and dusty road, my head sort of was bouncing up and forth, back and forth against that window. We started winding our way down the cobbled together community, and I couldn't help but notice all of the children wandering lots where homes had yet to be built. They ran across rock-littered fields with snowshoes braving the ever-present fire ants. I watched as lot after empty lot passed by. Some with makeshift shelters made out of branches and cardboard. Others with half-built cinder block homes because it was actually safer to put your money into those cinder blocks than into the less than reputable banks in the area. My head knocked up against that window, and as it did, my hopes sank. I began to fully grasp the size of these bonds of injustice, fully grasp how unbelievably large this elephant was. We went back to our hotel rooms to prepare for the closing night's banquet. The guilt of staying in a hotel room and having a lavish banquet was only offset slightly by the knowledge that the family for whom we had built that house would be joining us that night. I was rooming with our church's minister, and as we both packed the last items into our bags, he turned to me and said, "Time to go back to Disney World." What he was saying, of course, was that in comparison to the life of most of the people that we were seeing there, in comparison to the life that they were handed, our lives were a veritable amusement park. And I knew he was profoundly right. Now, I shared that story as a way of understanding the profound injustices in the world and to point out to the moments that I understood the largeness of the problem. And I hope that I have done that. But now I'd like to continue the story of that evening to speak to the answer of how do we go about solving a problem of this size? How do we eat this elephant? Well, as we headed back to the banquet, my spirits continued to sink. There was a part of me that was truly desperate to stay there and possibly never even leave, to build more homes every week. You know, as the evening went on, increasingly that one home we had built over the course of the week felt, well, it felt somewhat insignificant. I felt like we had only managed to bite off the very tiny tip of the snout of this oversized elephant of injustice. After we had dined lavishly and shared in smiles and laughter with the newest homeowners in Piedras Negras, a staff member of the group we were there working with stood up and shared a story with us. Now, I'm certain that it's a story that many of you may have heard, but it's one that's more than worth hearing again. He stood up and he shared this story with us. One day an old man was walking along the beach, and it was low tide. The sand was littered with thousands of stranded starfish that the water had carried in and then left behind. And the man began walking very carefully, so as, you know, not to step on any of these beautiful creatures. And since the animals still seemed to be alive, he considered picking some of them up, you know, and putting them back into the water where they could resume their lives. Man knew that the starfish would die if left on the beach's dry sand, but he ultimately reasoned that he could not possibly help them all. So he chose to do nothing and continue walking along the sand. Soon after, the man came upon a small child on the beach who was frantically throwing one starfish after the other back into the ocean. The old man stopped the child and asked, What are you doing? "I'm saving the starfish," said the child. Why waste your time? There are so many that you can't save them all, so what does it matter? Without hesitation, the child picked up another starfish, tossed the starfish back in the water, looked at the man and said, "To this one, it matters. To this one, it matters. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time." I don't know what difference our group made in terms of impact on that community, but I do know that the lives of that one family, to them, it mattered. I don't know if we helped begin to break the yokes on the homeless community there in Piedras Negras, but I do know we loosened the bonds of injustice that rested unfairly on that one family. And here's something else that I do know. In the words of the often profound theologian, Dr. Seuss, through the character of the Lorax, "Unless someone like you cares a whole awful lot, nothing's going to get better. It's not." In many ways, that's what today's scripture is telling us. Frankly, it's what the teachings of Jesus, as well as many of the world's greatest spiritual teachers, tell us. We are the ones with whom the betterment of the world rests. We are called to loosen bonds, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, shelter the homeless. We are called to love boldly and unapologetically. Whether it is in large, bold moves like working to get clean water to people who are dying from a lack of it, or in small, meaningful steps by giving food to a person on the street corner who is hungry, we are called to be the change. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Be the change. It matters.
I just wanted to say, one starfish at a time.
There you go. Are there others?